Bibles and open up to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. Title of the message is When God Comes Knocking. When God Comes Knocking. You ever had people knock at your door these days? Every once in a while they do in our neighborhood. It seems like more and more there's a lack of knocking on doors like there used to be. There's signs up on in front of the neighborhood, you know, no solicitations, and they have all kinds of even people themselves. I know some folks that have on their door right next to it a big wooden. It looks like it was made just for them, and it makes it very clear they don't want anyone disturbing them at home. It's just different than it used to be. But so when you get a knock on the door, maybe I should ask you this question. When you get a knock at the door, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Yeah. So imagine the feeling that happens when God knocks on our door. I think he probably gets kind of some of the same attitudes and feelings. Okay, what's this about? What do I need to do? What does he want to talk to me about now? Or, uh-oh, am I in trouble? Or maybe it's a, hey, come on in. I don't know what your situation is. But we do know that knocking on doors is not something that's necessarily a habit that people do today or practice that people have. I love what Hebrews 13:2 says, though. This is something to think about. It's really not connected to the message, but I just thought of the verse, thought I'd share it with you. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Why? For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You just never know who you might be kind to and gracious to. So here we have in Genesis chapter 12 a whole new shift. Some have called it the other side of the river as far as the Grand Canyon. You have one side and then there's the river and the other side. The first 11 chapters were the one side. Now we've crossed over into a whole new land in Genesis. And it begins with this guy by the name of Abram. And we want to read a little bit about him and how God comes knocking at his door in such a loving way to draw him to himself. I want to read the first few verses here of chapter 12, if you'll follow along. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Our Father, this morning, for the few minutes that we have here, I pray that you will speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Pray that whatever is in our minds, the things that could distract us, things that are disturbing and frustrating, things that are issues that have to be dealt with. Maybe there's ongoing fears or anxieties even now of whatever might be in a person's heart. Maybe we're just fine. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you will speak to us where we are at our greatest need. I also want to pause and pray for Pastor Dan and the group in Bolivia. I'm very thankful, Lord, that we can partner with them, and I'm so grateful you got them there safe and their journeys and just hearing the little texts along the way. And now they're there, and we pray particularly for Pastor Dan. He might even be preaching right now. So we pray, Lord, that you will speak through his words, and we know that you take those words and you're able to make them what needs to be said and heard in the ears of those who are listening. And I pray that this gospel will be preached and many will grow in faith and maybe some will come to know Christ as their Savior. Bless them, Lord, and give them a great week of ministry. And Lord, we are also excited about the ministry that you're going to do to them and in them through the lives and testimonies of others. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of Abram is a story that is really the beginning of Israel, isn't it? The very front end of it, even before Abram knows anything about it. Of course, this starts back in chapter 11, where we get just a little smit about what Abram's family is like. It talks about Terah and the end of chapter 11. Terah took Abram, and there he is, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur, the Chaldeans, to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died there. So we have here a story of Abraham and a little bit about what his life was like before God called him. Now in Acts 7 helps us understand when that call came. You don't have to turn, but in Acts chapter 7, it says this in verses 2 through 4. This is Stephen talking. He says, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. And he said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you.' And then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land which you are now living." So here we have the Lord speaking directly to Abram while he lived in Ur. Now, if you know anything about Ur, it's modern-day Iraq, and it's just a place where there's a lot of false worship that goes on. They're not worshiping Yahweh. They're worshiping different kinds of gods, the moon god, sun god, and all their children. So it wasn't a Yahweh type of religion at all. So the question would be, why would Terah, the father, who's the patriarch, and if you're the patriarch, you're the head guy, everyone does what you say. Why would he listen to Abram at all and follow him to Haran? We really don't know. I mean, there's several things that have come up as historians and archaeologists have been able to uncover certain clues. One simply could be Abram told him what God said, and Terah was like, "Whoa, if God actually talked to you and you heard the voice of God, we better listen." Well, that's one view. We don't know. I wasn't there in the conversation. The second one is that we do know that Terah's son had died. That's tough, isn't it? Think about if you've walked through that or have known someone who's walked through that. Your children are supposed to bury you, right? And so to have that happen, some would say, well, maybe he just wanted to get away from all the memories, and this was an opportunity he didn't fight. I don't know. Another one is that the Amorites, which were the giants at the time, if you remember that, they were kind of an aggressive people. They weren't very well liked, and they at times were raiding that area around Ur, and maybe just to get away from all that and all the trouble that could be, they said, "Let's take the family and go." But when they went, Haran, that's a long way. Let's go on 700 miles. Now you think, how far can you get in 700 miles? Where can you go? And that's kind of where this was at. So we don't know why. We only are told that Terah dies. So what's happening is God is just kind of removing that side of the Grand Canyon, and now he's starting a new chapter. In order for that to happen, Father moved on, and now it's Abram. Abram is here. So we have Abram is now has been told he needs to go to Canaan, and they had stopped for a while. There was the delay in Haran, and he continues on with his journey. So God, in his love, connected with Abram. Think about that. That's exactly what happened with you and me. It's no different. God loved you and I so much, he came and invaded our lives to help us understand our need and to draw us to himself. And he saved us through his son for all who would come to him by faith. So in a very real sense, God's love, its love for the world, is being expressed not just today, but way back here with Abram, where he came and let himself know who he was. This is how much God loves mankind. This is how much God is willing to reach out in love. And so he's calling Abraham to do something different. He's saying, "I want you to come. I want you to come walk with me. And we're going to go to this place far away." But walking with God is going to require some things, and that's what we want to look at today, because I would hope today, if you don't know God, you're going to be interested enough in seeing why you want to know God and need to know God, His very love for you, and that is explained even earlier several times in the worship segment of the singing part of the worship, I should say, that God loved you and provided a way and showed that, demonstrated that love by sending His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, and God the Father raised Him from the dead 3 days later. That was the great power and love of God. Why did He do that? Because He loved us, and He knew that we could not get to heaven on our own. So that might be your interest, but for many here, you might have already, you know about God, you know about Christ, maybe you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, and you're wanting to know, what is it, what's the big deal about walking with God in a close relationship? I mean, I'm saved, so now I'm just going to live my life, and when I die, I'm just going to go to heaven. God has something better for you. It is to know Him and experience who He is, and His love will overwhelm and transform you into something that you could never, never imagine. I think we fall short so much because we don't know God that well and His great love. And so He's inviting Abram. I'm not saying Abraham picked up on any of that, by the way. You know, I don't know what he did or did not know when God called him. He did obey. That's a big deal. But He's drawing him to Himself, and it's going to be a journey. And many of you are on that journey. Would you like to walk even closer with the Lord? Would you like to have that kind of interaction with Him that gives you peace, purpose, and power to do His work? So that's what we're going to look at here. And so what we see is things need to change. There's some requirements here. And the first one is walking with God, as far as Abram and us as well, requires change. Requires a change. To get to where Abraham needed to go, which was where? Canaan. He got to get there. What did he have to do? He had to leave where he was. Did you catch that? I think it goes by way too fast. In order to get where he needed to be, he needed to leave behind where he was at. I think I have that passage in Corinthians where it says, when I became a man, what did I do? I left behind childish things. So there was a change in Abram's life that he needed to make. What are some of those changes? Well, the first one right away is the influences. We already talked about he grew up in a family in an area where they worshiped the moon god and sun god and false religions. So there was this influence. I'm not saying there was a respect for deities, but there was the wrong influence in his life. And he was getting that, and he just grew up in it. It was just part of his culture. You know, why would you and I be so upset at people that are just, they grew up in a culture they didn't know any different. They didn't hear the word. They didn't hear about the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be praying for those folks and sending more out to tell when God calls them. And so basically these influence, in fact, Joshua talks about it. You don't have to turn, but Joshua recorded this. Listen to this. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long, long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates and Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Right there. He's reminding them. Whoa. There was a big transformation, a big change that had to take place. Now, in that context, Israel struggles still with false gods, as do we. So it was time for Abram to make a decision, right? God called him. He had been worshiping here. He was influenced by these gods. And now he had to make this. He had to walk with the turkeys and all the false gods, or he had to fly with the eagles, the one true God. It was his choice that God gave him to do. So Abraham makes a decision. He's going to try to get these bad influences out and move on to something else. I'm not sure all that was on his mind, but God, it was on God's mind, and God knew there had to be a change to get that out of his ear. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to help you understand who I am and who you can be in me. So we have to get rid of these bad influences. I came across a story about Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher. This comes from Leonard Ravenhill. He was an English author and I believe an evangelist as well. He said this, now listen to this, the power of influence and what you can do as well even now. Listen to this. So Jonathan Edwards was known as a religious and a moral man and had at the time of this particular study when he wrote this down, he said, 1,394 descendants from he and his wife, Christian wife Sarah. That's not how many kids they had. You got that right. Of them were 100 preachers. Are you catching this? Out of those 1,394, his influence, out of that came 100 preachers and missionaries, 100 lawyers, 80 public officials, 75 Army and Navy officers, 65 college professors, 60 authors of prominence, 60 doctors, 30 judges, 13 college presidents, 3 United States senators, 1 vice president of the United States, 295 college graduates, of whom were governors of states and ministers to foreign countries. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? The influence of a godly man. Now, I want you to think about the other side. So he's comparing him to a guy that I've never heard of, a guy named Max Jukes. He was an atheist, okay? I'm not saying he wasn't a loving dad. I'm just saying he was an atheist. He didn't believe God. Here's his story. From his union, they have found 540 known descendants from Max Jukes. And this is what his record shows. 310 of them died as paupers. 150 of them were criminals. 100 of them were drunkards, 7 murderers, and more than half the women were prostitutes. What a difference an influence for Christ can make in the life of a person. And that's what God is understanding, of course, and knows. And when he calls Abraham, he knows there has to be a change if he wants to experience the love of God, if he really wants to know God, if he wants to get beyond the, hey, I'm here on Sunday, I read my Bible once in a while, I do pray. You're not even close to be able to walk with God the way you could or to know him and him to be able to bless you. That is called an intimate relationship with God that you can have through Jesus Christ. And so God calls him, and he knows he needs to get rid of those influences, and so he calls him away. I think of a couple of passages pop up to mind. I bet you remember these. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. How about 1 Corinthians 15? Paul picks up on this theme, doesn't he? He says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Influence is huge. God had to get them out of there. And sometimes you and I have to get out of there, don't we? We have to remove some of those influences in our lives, whatever that may be. They may be people that we hang with. Now, I'm not talking about interacting in a kind and in a missional way with people. We're supposed to do that with all people. I'm talking about people that you allow closer into your heart, into your mind, into your life that can influence you away from your walk with God, cast doubts or have things that will cause you to walk away. Need to get rid of all those things. So the question really becomes, what are the influences in your life? And that could also be things you allow to come in that aren't people in the sense of interacting one-on-one here. Could be through television or media or whatever. People we follow, people we listen to, newscasters, everything. What's influencing your life? That's an important question. And if you really want to walk with God, if you really want to experience a deeper intimacy with God, you gotta really make sure those influences are God-honoring and they're helping you know and grow in Christ. So where's your heart? So the second influence we have here is location as well. Now, obviously, he had to get to Canaan. He had to leave Ur. He had to leave Haran. So he had to actually move physically from that place. And there's times in our lives where we have to break away from certain connections we have with people or things in our lives, addictions or bad relationships, whatever it is, those things, you have to leave that in your life. You have to break away from that Haran if you're ever going to get to Canaan. You can't drag that with you and expect God to bless you in any way. It's not going to happen. So he's calling Abram to leave this specific location. Now, I'm taking this as well that it's more than just a place. It is a place, absolutely, first and foremost. But it's also, he has to leave a location of where he's at in his own heart with God. He's in the wrong place. He doesn't know God very well. He's heard God, he's obeyed God, and God's going to teach him about him. He's going to grow in that faith, but right now he needs to be in a different place in his life. He has to move. Now, I understand when you're a teenager or a young adult, you love the idea of independence, and that's awesome. We love it too as parents. Amen? It's all good. It's all good. So there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes when our path of independence leads us to walk away from our faith, well, that's the wrong place. That's the wrong place to be. So any influence or any place you connect with that is pulling you away from an intimate walk or faith in Christ, that's the wrong location. You got to get away from there. You should have nothing to do with that. It reminds me of the lesson, really, one of the big lessons that the prodigal son is all about. There's a lot of lessons there. But really, our peace, our purpose, our true independence is found in the Father's house. It's not found away from it. I know so many young adults that say, man, I'm independent now. I'm going to do my own thing. And what they've done, they've thrown themselves in another prison. They're chasing after the wrong things. And they have to break away from that, so they need to move locations. And so it's a hard issue, really. It was the same way with the prodigal son. He had to come to the realization, this is really stupid. Things are a lot better at my dad's house than they are with me and my independence. I want to go back. And he found his father's love, didn't he? In fact, where was his father when he was walking down the road? He was looking for him. That's what God does for us. So, where's your heart at? So, walking with God requires change. What changes do you need to make? What changes do I need to make in order to walk deep? We all need change. We're all in the process of changing. That's an amen right there. We are being conformed into the image of God. So, that is part of the process. What changes is God talking to you about even now? Second thing, so we walk. Walking with God requires a change, and Abraham has a lot of changes going on in his life. Woo! A lot all at once. But also, it requires a cost. There's a cost to it. There's a cost to it. I want you to notice the progression of commitment that Abram was actually being asked to. Did you catch it? He's moving from country. He's moving from kindred. And then he's moving from his father's house. He's leaving the things in his life. So this is like lesser to greater. If you follow along in the reading of the text here, it's from lesser to greater. I'm going to have you move away from this large area of Ur. You may not like where he lives. I don't know. Now he's moving away from the people that he probably knows. And now he's even willing to step out and move away from his own family if necessary. This is a call to intimacy with God. Trust me, walk with me. So it's going to cost him something here. You guys know the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I just like the quote whenever I could see it. I love it. It says, when Christ calls a man, he bids a man to come and die. That's right. There's things that will cost us. So what is that? I'm going to go a different route here than maybe you're expecting. I want you to listen carefully, though. I think the cost is that we have to be willing to be honest with God and to lay bare and lay open the things that are deep inside. Aren't we good at burying? Are we good at actually looking very healthy, but there's things in our life that aren't healthy? And there's no way in the world I'm sharing it with you. I think walking with God is laying bare those things, bringing the darkness and bringing it into the light, and it loses all its power. But we're so scared. And churches, unfortunately, many of them are responsible for this problem. I'm not blaming anyone here, but I know how it is for someone to come and say, man, I'm a mess. I can't think of the last time someone said that to me. I don't know what to think about that. Are we unapproachable? Are we scared? What is it? I think Abraham, there were going to be things, by the way, this is very biblical. As you follow the story of Abram to Abraham, God's going to lay bare all kinds of things that are inside of him that he doesn't even know about. His own fears, his own lack of trust in God. It's going to go on and on and on. And for Abraham to grow and mature, God's going to allow things to happen. In fact, God has to intervene, doesn't he, sometimes? Whoa! Why? Because he's trying to get him to the place where he can trust his father. But in order to trust his father, he's got trust issues. I have hurt, I have pain, I have sin, I have all these things, and I don't really want to get into it. I want to keep it to myself. But if you really want to walk with God, it's going to cost you. You're going to not have to have status quo anymore. You're going to have to lay those things before the Lord. You're going to need to get with someone who is a mature Christian that you can love and trust. And there's that factor there where you can start dealing with those issues in your life. But it's going to cost you. You're going to have to go back. But I'm telling you, for the people that have been willing to get the counseling that they need, or to get the discipleship they need, or the friendship and the prayer and all those things together, when they finally get it out in the open and say, you know what, this is me, all of a sudden, the power of the devil is broken. May the church show grace to people who need help. May this place truly be a hospital for the soul. I hope you're that way. So it was going to cost him some things in his life. He's going to have to learn a lot about himself. Don't like that. You ever get lessons about yourself you really don't want? Yeah. He's going to have to learn a lot about God because he doesn't know a lot about him. So it's going to cost him a lot. But let me tell you. At the end, guess what the result is? Don't miss this. God is going to call him a friend. He's a friend of God. I hope God thinks that about me. Anybody here want to be a friend of God? We think, well, I trust Jesus Christ, he's my Savior, and I'm believing in him and him alone, and that's all there is? My friend, come on. No. That's all there is to salvation, but not intimacy. And God's calling us to something beyond that. Do you know God? It's going to cost you to do that. It's going to cost you to know him. It's going to cost you to grow in him. Dig into that word. Pray that prayer that you're terrified. God, give me patience, right? No, don't pray that one. Pray for those things. Seek those things because that is what will help you and I become and make the changes that we need. So if we want to walk with God, if we want to experience this Ur to Canaan a reality in our life, we really have to have change. It's going to require change in our life, and it's going to require a cost. But there's another thing that it's going to require as well. And this really helps us understand this next step. How does this happen? How do we get there? So walking with God really requires confidence. Confidence. He has to have confidence. He has to come to the place where he's trusting God. And we know that he does trust God, as is from his response in obedience to him as he goes. But he places this confidence in God that, hey, God said it. I'm going. I'm just going to believe it. So confidence is this idea of I'm just going to trust God. I may not understand it, and oftentimes we don't. I may not put all the pieces together. I don't see the whole picture, but I trust in God. Do you think Abraham had a clue how long he was going to be in Haran? Do you think he wondered why he was there? Because God had called him where? to Canaan, but they stopped there. It was a long trip. A lot of, why are we here, Dad? Why are we remaining here? But out of respect, I think God honored that. He did. And then when Terah was removed, he trusted God and kept going. He didn't stop. And that trust, that builds a confidence that God is a man, or God is a divine man, and Jesus Christ is the divine man of his word. When I was growing up, I learned very quickly that I could have confidence in what my dad said. He was going to follow through. So in college, I had been dating Dawn for a few years. My dad made it very clear that when the nights that I would go over the house and play games with the family or whatever, the curfew as a college student was to be in the door. In the door before midnight. That's it. That's all I said. Okay. So I remember the first time that I challenged that. And I left around 5 till midnight, but I was about 10 minutes away. So, of course, I'm going quickly. And I get home about 12:03 or 4. And it was quiet, and I thought, oh, man, this is all good. Woo! Little did I know that at midnight, Dawn's house received a telephone call. Everyone was asleep, except when the phone rang. And it was my mother. Where's Keith? I learned that the next time, and I realized that I can have full, complete confidence that my dad meant what he said. So I usually got home about 11:45 from then on to make sure. I remember one time we were a little nervous. It was like 8 till, and I said, I don't know. And so Dawn stayed the entire time by the phone. In the same way, though, I could tell you this. I also could have it build a confidence. I could trust him. Because he was a man of his word. And he said, I want you to know something, son. If you ever need me, call. I'll be there to help. Amen. And he was. Isn't that great? This is where the Father in heaven is trying to connect with Abram and say, look, you could trust me. Let me help you with some of this. This is a journey. It didn't happen between Haran and Canaan. It was a journey, but it started here. I want you to just follow along here what he said. It's right here in the text. It says that you can trust God. You can have confidence in him because why? Well, because he's faithful and he's true to his word. God would give Abraham a new land to live in. Is that true? It absolutely worked out to be that way. God would make Abraham's descendants into a great nation. True? They are even today. Isn't it amazing that little real estate in this vast world is the center of attention all the time. God would bless Abram. Oh my, did he bless him. Even when Abram was naughty, God blessed him. God would make Abram's name great. That is true. The Jews, not just the Jews, Christians and Muslims, they all respect and honor Abram. God would bless those who bless Abram. God would dishonor those who curse Abram. And God would bless all the families of the world through Abram. And we see that fulfilled through Jesus Christ our Lord. You could trust God. And in this journey of walking with God and getting closer to God, you could develop this confidence. And that's what it's going to require. A confidence, a trust that what God says, he will do. So here's the situation. As you're walking in your journey, you're going along your way and something terrible happens. This doesn't make sense. God, why did this happen? Why did this evil come into my life? Why did this circumstance take place? Okay, this is where it all kicks in. We may not get an answer for that, by the way. We may not know. There might be a simple, very easy explanation, but sometimes they're not. We don't always know. Why did this happen? But because we know our Father. Because we have a walking relationship with our Father, we can have confidence in Him. He says, my son, it's okay, you can fall back. I will catch you. I will catch you.
That's my
God. So it requires confidence. How do we do this? How do we make this happen? I think that's the fourth thing that it requires. Walking with God in that intimate fashion and that love with the Father requires a lot of courage. It requires courage. You need to get that right now. It says in Genesis 12:4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. He had to pull the trigger. How many of us are stuck in church or Sunday school mode and gear? We have all this knowledge of God and what He can do and what He wants to do in our life. And we've got it all right here. And He says, okay, now, are you ready? Go. We don't take that step. It takes courage, doesn't it? For some of us, it's real easy to make friends with people. It's not a problem. Some of you can make friends with anybody. And a stranger is not a stranger to you. But some people, it's terrifying. They're afraid. I don't know all the reasons why. I'm not going to sit here and judge, but that's just not who they are. They want to say, so they have a hard time with that. But here it takes courage to trust God and to step out. And by faith, we please God. For that's how we come to God. We believe that He is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. He blesses that kind of courage and He smiles in that. And we have to understand that our fears and stepping out and obeying God, that's okay. Courage is not the absence of fear. You've heard that before, right? Courage is not the absence of fear, but the faith that something better awaits those who walk home. That's courage. The other day I was talking with a gentleman in the neighborhood, very nice man, and just going back and forth talking about good things. And as always, immediately in my head, the Holy Spirit goes missional. Just the way it is. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, how and when would be a good time to cross into just a testimony, because I'm hearing testimony from him, and he's sharing some good things, and all of a sudden he's starting sharing some things that are faith things. Oh, okay. So I knew that it would be good for me to declare the glory of God and his gospel, and so it seemed like the Holy Spirit said, da 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 da. All right, I'll do it. But it wasn't that kind of a feeling at all. In fact, it was a great conversation to be able to tell. Isn't it great to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our Father loves us through Christ, his Son, and faith in him, that he's provided a way for salvation? You see, you could give this gospel in a loving, friendly way. You can do it in less than a minute. It's the truth. And truth has a way of regenerating and growing. We have to take that step. And for Abram, it was a courage step. It really was. He's going to a strange place. He's just lost his father. He had lost his brother earlier. Now he's dragging, not dragging, that's probably a negative term. He's bringing along Lot, his nephew, and all that responsibility. It's this whole new game. There was a lot of changes going on, and walking with God requires that change. But there was a cost involved, too, for him personally, the things that he had to walk through to be able to get close to God, things he had to unravel and unfold and show. It took a lot of that to happen. It also required placing a trust and a confidence in God, as well as this step of courage. And so when we think about this, think about God knocking at our door right now. I'm asking you, what is God asking you and me to do today? What does he want us to do? Because we're all in flux. We're all in change, one way or the other. Is there something you've been putting off that needs to be taken care of? Is there something you need to get rid of? Or maybe it's not that at all. Maybe it's something you need to add. Something that you know has been missing in your life. Maybe getting alone with God more, maybe praying more, maybe sharing more, maybe serving more. I don't know what those things are, but those times that help you grow in your faith with your Father in heaven. And it's going to take courage to do all that. But the good news is, at the end of the day, God calls us his friend in Christ. We can have a father like that. What do you need to change? What cost do you need to pay? Are you trusting in God? And do you have the courage to move forward? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to just peek a little differently into Abraham's call in his life. And thank you so much that you allow us these moments to see that these are real people that have real problems and how they respond, both good and bad, in their journey with you. And as our Heavenly Father, you desire to have not just a relationship in the sense that we're in your family. We're not supposed to be children that are cast off in the corner of the house somewhere or out in the property, not to be ever talked with or conversed with. But yet, Lord, you want us at your table. And you want us by your side. You want us to grow and to know you. For that was the exact thing that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Those kind of times and walks, and we've been struggling ever since. And how we replace those things with other fathers. Fathers maybe we shouldn't have. Things we allow in our lives to influence us that have cost us in the wrong sense. And I prayed this morning that we could see that it's time to come back home. It's time to truly walk with God, not just know about you. Or just to be thankful for your love, but to grow and experience that love as we walk with you. If there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you, I pray that you will make it very clear that salvation is simply an act of faith, whereby trusting in what Jesus Christ, your Son, has already done, dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. He has paved the way. And knowledge of that won't get it. It's trusting in him alone. So even now, I pray that there might be, if there's someone here that hasn't done that, they would do that now. They would trust in Christ. And then maybe for my brothers and sisters that have, maybe it's time that we trust Christ again. Not for salvation, but in a way that we can truly hear what he says, heed his call to go. And to go to places we never thought we'd go. And it may only take us across the street, but what a journey it'll be. In Jesus' name, amen.